not easy, but with Christ's help, we can do it. we can only do it with Christ's help. Matthew 25, 35 to 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Christ was, again, giving a parable and speaking to his disciples. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So when we love people, when we serve them, even the people who are difficult, even the people who are coming against us, when we pray for them, we are actually loving God, because God asked us to love them. He told us to love them. And oftentimes, I realize that part of the struggle is actually seeing people as the enemy sometimes when they're coming against us and beating on us, and you know. But Ephesians 6:12, Paul wrote, and God told us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, God's kind of transformed me, and it's an ongoing process, to try not to look at people who are coming against me as the enemy, but look at Satan and the forces of evil who are driving that against me as the enemy, to love the person and to pray for them, that they can, be saved, basically. That Christ can, that they'll come to know Christ and be changed. And through that process, you'll often find that Christ changes me. that was one cool thing. Other aspects where God's transformed my life over the years involve humility, judging others, forgiveness. And just a few verses on that. Christ spoke in Luke 18, 9 through 14. It says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Ever been there? I know I have. Ever been at the point of being confident in your own righteousness and looking down on others? I have, and I've been humbled in the past. And it's a thing that I have to constantly, and probably most of us have to constantly, guard ourselves against, is keeping ourselves humble before God and not judging others and not thinking of ourselves more highly than someone else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew 7, 1-2 goes to say, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And Philippians 2, 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, don't look down on others, but actually consider them better than myself. So humility is another thing, and judgment is another thing that I've struggled with, and I think a lot of Christians probably do as well. And it's a part of submitting ourselves to Christ completely, humbling ourselves totally before God. And Christ basically set for us that example, the example of a lifestyle of humility. Luke 22, 25, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, but I am, and it goes on to verse 27 to say, but I am among you as one who serves. The kings of the Gentiles lord it over, but I am among you as one who serves. That's Christ speaking. and we're to follow his example. So I've, one area that I've been, you know, that this has kind of hit me is that how about in my role as husband to my wife? Scripture tells me that I am to love my wife as Christ loves the church. So a question we need to ask ourselves as husbands, men, is, am I lording it over my wife? Or am I following Christ's example of servant leadership? So all kinds of areas that we need to submit to Christ, that Christ is working on me, and it's an ongoing process that Christ continues to do in me, and he wants to do in all of us. And I struggle as much as anybody else at putting the priority to spend that time with God every day, really taking the time in prayer and taking the time in the Word to really seek God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And it's something that we all really need to set as a priority in order to see God transform us so that he can then use us to transform everyone around us, reaching to the ends of the earth. So, Jesus gave this example. Also, John 13, 13 through 15, after washing his disciples' feet, he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." So we're to be servants. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And he found in being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." So Christ left me an example of humility and forgiveness. Matthew 6, 12 and 15, Christ said, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." So a part of our transformation needs to be giving up when people wrong us, forgiving them as Christ has forgiven us. And Christ gave that the most amazing example possibly in that Luke 23, 24, hanging on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," while he was hanging on the cross after being brutally beaten, tortured. "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So, amazing. Are we being transformed into that image? That's a question. You know, why are we here? You know, not just here in church, but why are we here in life? Why are we doing the things that we do every single minute of every single day? Basic questions that, if we're honest with ourselves and open before God, he will show us those areas in our life, and he will transform me if I do, if I take the time. He'll transform each one of you and use you guys to and all of us, his whole church, to change the world. So are we here to participate in the mission that God has given us to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that Christ commanded? Are we here to glorify God by serving to advance his kingdom, to change the world? If we answer yes to any of those questions, then we just need to know that it's going to require each of us individually to submit our lives completely to the lordship of Christ, to be transformed by him. You know, God loves each one of us just the way we are. You know, he loves us that much, but he loves us way too much to leave us just the way we are. He wants to transform us to become more like him, more righteous, you know, more loving, more caring. And when we do that, more powerful, because his power is moving through us. It's going to require us each individually and collectively to seek God with all of our hearts, and to seek his kingdom with all of our hearts, to seek his righteousness fervently, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in the Word daily, and then to be obedient to what He tells us and calls us to, and to allow Him to change us in the ways that He wants us to change. Just two more scriptures and then we'll close. Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And this is a huge part. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 7:14-15, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Huge challenge, huge mission to change the world. It's only going to happen if we allow God to change us individually and to seek Him daily and to be transformed by Him daily. So just want to encourage you guys to do that, to take some time to think about those things. Why am I doing the things that I do on a daily basis? Or there's, do I need to change something? Put that before God and ask Him to show you. Take the time, and I think that's how revival will break out. It will not break out if we don't. So let's close in prayer. Lord, I do just thank You and praise You for Your Word, Lord God. I thank You that You love us so much that You paid the penalty for our sins, Lord God, that You suffered death on the cross. And Lord, I just thank You for setting us the example, Lord, that of servant leadership, of humility, Lord, of love. Lord, I pray that You would help us each to really examine ourselves, to examine our hearts each and every day. Lord God, to seek out Your will, to lay our lives before You, and to allow ourselves to be changed by You, Lord. I pray that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit and reveal Your will to each of us. Just thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.